the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here to do another recap of three of the movies from this epic seven-night Hallmark Thanksgiving week that they are doing. And we are talking about A Tree Grows in Colorado, The Good Morning Christmas, and Christmas by Starlight. So this is going to be so much fun. I'm film director Rachel Wagner, and Carrie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, it's going well. And we have a special guest, one of our friends of our podcast, author Elise Murray's here. And Elise, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So how have you been? How was your, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I had a really great Thanksgiving. You know, it was very quiet, very low key. Of course, my British husband still has a little bit of trouble adjusting to a day where you just take off and eat all day, but he's for it. He's for it. So it was really good. We had a good day, and it was great to watch some good movies this week.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That is very American. We're just going to have a day where we feast all day. It's so exciting. So Elise, why don't you update us on some of your books that you have been releasing? You had one fairly recently that came out, correct?
Yeah, I just finished a series that was about a family in Northern California and all of their kind of little love stories. The last book was called A Home at Summer's End, which was like the final book in the series, and it was so much fun. It's like a very sweet, perfect for Hallmark fans. And I have some very exciting, very secret movie news that hopefully in the coming months I'll be able to share with all of our Hallmark fans. So, because I got to write a really fun one for Lifetime last year. I got to write the screenplay. So hopefully we'll be seeing some fun stuff on Hallmark next year. Fingers crossed.
That sounds great, Elise. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's really exciting. We'll put links down if people want to check out Elise's books. Put some links down in the description. People should take a look because they're really good. Well, let's start with A Tree Grows in Colorado. And I think the reason why I was skeptical, I can't remember what I gave it in the in our prediction show. It was probably a sock. But the reason why was because whenever they try to tie anything to classic literature, right, usually really irritates me because, I mean, in this case, it has nothing to do with the classic novel at all. And nothing. The classic novel is about a little girl. And it's just there's no similarity. And so it's literally just using the name. And that's what usually happens. And so then I just find it distracting and not my favorite. In this case, I mean, they changed it enough that you have, it's not even a tree. Originally, it was a Christmas tree grows in Brooklyn, and then they changed it to Colorado. And so, I don't know, that ended up not bothering me at all. And, but I think that's why I was initially skeptical. But this stars Rochelle Eitz, I forget exactly how you say your last name, and Mark Taylor, who we've interviewed both of them, and they're great. And
yeah.
And it's, the summary is, Aaron is planning the town's Christmas celebration and must win over firefighter Kevin in order to obtain the beautiful spruce tree from his property for the celebration. Yeah, Carrie, what were your overall thoughts about this film?
You know, this is what I love about Hallmark Christmas movies. They go all in on a quirky detail, and for 2 hours, they make me believe that it's the most important thing about Christmas. You know, like, they zone in the party was super important and took up all of this firefighter's time. And finding that perfect Christmas tree was super important and took up all of this girl's time. And I believed it. I mean, I was like, yes, you can't have second best. That second best tree that they found at that farm was perfectly fine, you guys. It was perfectly fine. But they didn't want it. It had to be his tree. And it was just funny. Funny to me. But that's what we love about these Hallmark movies, is that they're quirky in that regard, and they make it fun.
What did you think overall, Elise?
Yeah, I mean, I really found the lead. It was Rochelle, right? Is her name? Mm-hmm. Erin playing, or Rochelle playing Erin.
Yeah.
I thought she was absolutely charming. I wasn't quite as sold on the chemistry between these two. Maybe because he is supposed to be a little more standoffish and not so friendly. But I think she was absolutely charming. I like couldn't keep my eyes off of her. And I really think she sold a character who can kind of be a little bit unlikable, like just from a script perspective. Like she comes to a small child and is like, actually, small child, you're not doing that snowman correctly. Like, you know, if you read that on the page, you might be like, ooh, she's a little bit rough for me. But I think she absolutely sold and made this character super endearing. And I actually think one of the things that works the best in this film's favor is it kind of leans into a little more of the conflict, especially like in those later acts. Like it really is a little bit, not dark for a Hallmark movie, but a little bit kind of meaty for the mayor to be like, no, I'm more worried about politics than the Christmas tree. Like that's kind of, that sort of conflict there, I thought really sold the movie for me and the kind of drama of, you know, something as simple as the town Christmas tree. And I really enjoyed this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it helped that she wasn't like fully invested in being a politician, you know, that she really wanted to be a teacher in real life. And so she, so they kind of gave her character an out of like, as opposed to if she was like super concerned about getting elected or, you know what I mean? Something like that. Yeah. It would have been harder to feel for her. But it starts off with them having a pretty quick connection. And I loved that scene in the firehouse with where she has to put on the, she's in the driver's seat.
Oh, yes. It's so good.
Yeah, it was so good. And she's like, I got to wear that helmet. And there's even kind of pretty close to, like, they get pretty close to each other. And that was really fun. And you might not know, Carrie, but we, especially when we first started the podcast, we had this kind of running joke or running thing that we wanted Hallmark to make a firehouse movie. With all of our hunky Hallmark men. And of course, we had the Nine Lives of Christmas and a couple of other ones, but this was fun to see. I was watching, I was like, ooh, this is basically our fireman movie.
That's cool. They didn't really show him in, you know, a lot of the firefighter man action though, but I mean, this was really good. We've got to talk about that one scene, and you know what scene I'm talking about.
We will. And the thing I think that's interesting this season compared to the past is I really feel like a lot of these movies this year are basically co-leads as opposed to the I would say forward. He was practically the same or really close to the same amount of time as she was. I mean, he's the one that has the child. He has the emotional kind of the emotional story of the piece is his character. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really interesting that they're doing that. And I mean, I also appreciated the fact that not only was he a single adoptive father, but that he adopted her when she was older, you know, when she was five.
Yeah.
That was very unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was.
And I think this is going to sound so bad, but when the movie started, you know, I'm watching it with my family and they're talking about this tree and I go, oh no. It's going to be his dead wife tree. That's a dead wife tree. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was convinced they were going to try and cut down his dead wife's tree. And I was like, oh, no. But I think the way that they used his kind of single fatherhood as like an adoptive parent and like the support system that he's built like within the community and with his parents, like I think it's a really beautiful way to show a different kind of Christmas and a different kind of family and a different kind of, you know, there were a couple of adoption movies this season and this weekend actually, but It was really cool to see that, and I thought it was really, really lovely.
Yeah.
I agree. That was nice.
Elise, what did you think of Neil as a character? Because at first, I thought that he was interested. The way they were acting, it seemed like he was interested in her. And for he ends up being a gay character, I thought it was a little bit, like they were trying to bait and switch a little bit on it, I think.
Yeah, I definitely get, I usually think of these Hallmark movies as movies that are like very firmly rooted in like the female point of view, right? So we as women, like, first of all, a dad having terrible gaydar is totally in character, and I thought that was hilarious. Him being like, "Ooh, Neil's a great, he's single." Like, that was funny to me, the dad having terrible gaydar. But I think sometimes, I mean, I know I've done this where I've misconstrued a gay man's like wanting a friendship with me as being interested in me, especially in college when I was in theater school. I was like, "Oh yeah, this guy wants to have coffee with me. We're totally gonna kiss." And then he's like, "Oh, and my boyfriend." And I'm like, "Oh no, I misread this so badly." So I guess I can understand it. Like, I guess I can understand the sort of bait and switch of it. But I do agree that it seemed maybe a little, they were leaning a little too heavy into the, especially in the beginning, his interest in her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think when he did come out and say, "Oh no, I'm gay," I liked the moment, but I wish it had been built up to perhaps a bit differently to make it land a little more realistically. So yeah, like I think the moment was funny, and I liked that they got to be friends and all of that afterwards, but I had wished for a little bit more nuance, maybe a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing with this. I said it when we were first talking about the lineup and Hallmark's attempt to have more diversity in their lineup. I said it's going to be a growth process. It's going to be a learning process. Not all of it's going to, and this wasn't awful by any means, but you know, not all of it's going to be perfect, and we have to.
Because it was played for a comedy, is that why? And it wasn't respectful or something, or
no,
what?
I just felt like it just felt a little bit like a plot device to me, as opposed to like
a real character.
Yeah. Because I don't know, I just didn't. It wasn't a big deal. I don't want to overstate it, but I just felt like he seemed interested in her at the beginning. Yeah. And so, okay. Then we have, so she wants the tree. And of course, it's hard not to think about Miss Christmas in this, watching this movie, because it's such a similar plot. And Miss Christmas is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh.
I love that. That was the first movie that we ever gave a perfect score to on this podcast. I love that movie, and I think that you had a similar dynamic between these two that you have in Miss Christmas, and obviously it's the same plot as far as the tree. And but yeah, let's talk about that big kiss mid movie.
I loved
it. The fight kiss, the angry kiss. It was very unusual. I think people who have only seen a handful of these may not understand that how much of this was very unusual. I think the not only having it in the middle of the movie, having it be an angry, I can't think of any other Hallmark movies that had an angry kiss like that.
And I can think of times where I've wanted, you know, like the two couples are fighting and shouting a little bit, and I've thought they're going to kiss. But of course they're not, and I know it in Hallmark. But this one delivered. I mean, they like let this shouting build and this passion build up a little bit, and it was delightful.
It was so fun. I loved it. Yeah, I mean, it's so tricky because this kind of enemies to lovers trope can make the characters unlikable very quickly. But I think having something so sort of over the top as this in the middle of the movie, I think it really helped to kind of break the ice, I guess, a little bit, and just kind of you just were having fun. Elise, what about you as a writer? What did you think about that scene and how it was executed?
Yeah, so usually I am not, like, it's very common in romance novels. It's not as common in kind of the Hallmark genre to have the kind of fight kiss. And usually I roll my eyes because when I'm fighting with the man I love more than anything in the world, I don't want to kiss him. Get away from me. Keep those lips on the other side of the room. But I think because it is so unusual in this kind of genre of movie, like, it's unusual to have a kiss in the middle of the movie, period. But then to have one that comes out of this kind of like passionate moment, I think because it's Kevin, right? Kevin, our hero, because he is such a kind of like very plays everything close to the vest, like doesn't really show a whole lot of feelings. Because it's like this kind of passionate outburst from him, it really shows, it showed him as sort of like a romantic possibility. And I thought that was really fantastic. And I really bought it. I liked it. It made me very happy.
Yeah.
And this movie was written by Samantha Herman, who we've had on our show before. She's a lot of fun. And she does a good job, I think, building up the romantic tension between the leads in her movies. And so I think she did a really good job with that. And it was just refreshing. It was just refreshing to see. And there's the big moment and there's lots of fun Christmas scenes in the movie that they do snow angels, they have stuff like that, which is fun. And then they have the scene where he gets the letter that they're gonna take the tree. It was part of eminent domain. And yeah, he is very upset with her.
Yeah, but she's so surprised too. You know, she didn't realize that was actually happening and that her dad would kind of strong arm the situation that way. And yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, because I think that's why it's so important that she's kind of not that invested in politics. Because if she was like super career driven with this job, then it'd be harder to kind of not blame her for this. And it helps. And so she then decides this is our second, this will be our first of two movies that we're talking about that they declare a historical landmark. Comes in handy,
right? It's flu, right? Yeah. Like, ooh, thank goodness.
Who knew that was such a key to keeping Christmas Christmas spirit together? But she tells her dad that she's resigning from politics. She wants to be a teacher, and this probably wouldn't be much of a surprise if she had a degree in teaching. I would think her dad would be like, okay. I don't know. That was interesting. And he decides to give the tree away anyway. Then they kiss at the end, and it's very romantic. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I just thoroughly enjoyed. I actually thought they had really great chemistry. And I think the movie did such a good job of building that up through the film. And compared to, I thought this was way stronger than Mark's first film, which was called Memories of Christmas, which was fine, but it was just very bland. This had a lot more like spark to it, I think, than this one.
Yeah, he was looser in this one, and she brought out the fun, playful side of him, and like that passionate side of him and stuff, and he was more likable faster.
Yeah, and I think that she has huge potential.
Absolutely.
If she wants to keep doing more of these, she's stunning, first of all, but also, I don't know, I just think that she has a lot of potential. If she had a good experience, I think she could make a lot of these movies.
Same.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Elise, what would you give it? 1 to 5. What would you give this film?
I think a 3. Like, are we still doing crowns? 3 crowns?
Yeah, 3 crowns.
3 crowns.
Okay. And Carrie, what about you?
I'm a solid 3. I thought it was really good, but it wasn't my favorite necessarily, you know, as far as some of these things we've talked about, just kind of the tired storylines, but they made it nice. So I would watch it again. I say 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 4. I really Ooh. Enjoyed it. Yeah, I know. I'm the queen of generosity this season with my crowns, but I really had a good time watching it. And maybe it was helped slightly by low expectations because of the title. Yes. But all right, let's talk about Good Morning Christmas. Now, this was on the 25th. And the stars Allison Sweeney and Mark Blucas. And it is 2 squabbling TV hosts are sent to a festive small town over Christmas. While pretending to get along for the sake of appearance, they discover there's more to each other than they thought. Elise, what was your overall thoughts about this film?
I liked it. I was a little bit nervous that it would get sort of infantile with like the back and forth between the two, because sometimes squabbling implies something to me that I don't necessarily want to watch. And I think some moments it did dip a little bit for me into like, oh, come on, like, don't do that. But the scene where he interrupts her date. Or her kind of like walk around town with the guy and sends the text and is like, the producer's mad, you should hurry. Like, I was like, oh yeah. Come on. I didn't care for that bit.
That's right.
But I did like it. I liked their chemistry. I thought it had some really, really lovely scenes. The ice skating rink in particular is like maybe one of my favorite Hallmark scenes of the year so far. So yeah, I really did enjoy this one.
Yeah. What did you think, Carrie?
Oh, I loved it. I really, really loved it. I thought the whole time, you know, the two of them I love from Irresistible Blueberry Farm.
Oh,
it's
so
just
good.
One of my favorites. And I think he has this playful kind of flirty quality that he brings to all of his characters. But still, I like it. And so it works for me. I don't know if it's he was in Miss Christmas as well, wasn't he, Rachel?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I really like Mark, and I liked him in the Jane Austen book club. Do you guys remember that old movie? Mm-hmm. Really old movie. But anyway, that was the first time I saw him. So
I didn't realize he was in there, or I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. Movie. Yeah.
He plays opposite Emily Blunt in that one, which is really kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I had high expectations, and they were met. They were met in this movie. It was so wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited. This movie is written by Riley Weston, and I'm hoping to get her on the podcast. I was just talking to her on Twitter, but she did one of my favorite Hallmark movies of all time called The Nanny Express. This was the debut of Brennan Elliott on Hallmark.
Oh, how funny!
Yeah, and I really like that one a lot. And so I was very excited. She also did one called Always and Forever, which I really enjoy. But that's going back a ways. So she hasn't done a Hallmark movie in a long time since her last one was 2009. So I was excited to see her back and to see her execute it so well. I mean, it's a pretty different landscape from 2008, 2009 to now. And and so I thought she did a really good job. And this is definitely trying to get kind of that enemies to lovers trope in that can the hardest part about that is you have to make the switch to sort of starting to fall in love at just the right time. Because if you make it too late, then you don't like the characters and you don't want them to get together.
Yeah.
And so that's the tricky thing. Like, there was one on Lifetime called Homemade Christmas. Woo! It was not good. That if you want an example of failing to make that switch, that was an example. And Yeah, this I really enjoyed it. I mean, I thought Allison and Mark did a great job, and I actually kind of forgot that they were in Blueberry Farm together, but you're absolutely right that they are so good in that movie, and that movie has, in my opinion, one of the best Hallmark kisses of all time.
Oh,
in that's Blueberry so Farm. Funny. Like when she runs into the the lake or whatever. It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah. And so there, the only thing is, I feel like for a morning show that's not a Christmas related morning show, I would have called it Bright and Early, not Bright and Merry.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really, the title of their morning show, I think, is a bit silly, but.
Yeah. I mean, because it wouldn't make sense year round, like in March, to be Bright and Merry, Bright and Early.
Yeah, true.
That's, but
Mary.
Basically,
I thought that was fun. I liked the behind the scenes look at the morning show type of thing and the relationship and how that, you know, they didn't get along and they had only been doing it for about a year, and there was a lot of things that just you know, they explained a lot of history and in a real natural way. Sometimes it can be kind of clunky, you know, like you're serving up all this history in two sentences, but they kept doing it, and you can understand why. Oh, they really misunderstood each other. But going off location, going to this little town, they have to pretend they get along, that it really started to draw each other out a little bit and able to explain themselves to each other in a fresh way. I liked that. I thought that was really fun.
So she needs the teleprompter. She's very well prepared. She's very organized. And he wants it to be more conversational, more off the cuff kind of a thing. And, but she kind of dismisses him and says, you know, that you're lazy or things. And he's like, wait a minute, I was a professional athlete. That took a lot of dedication, and I didn't just, it wasn't just something that just happened. I had to, and so he kind of, they have that back and forth between the two of them about what's better, preparation or spontaneity.
Yeah.
Would you say, Elise, would you say you have a team that you're more team preparation or team spontaneity?
I guess I'm more team preparation. But I think the movie comes to kind of like a good place of, a little bit of both is nice, you know, like she loves that surprise at the end. Like she hates surprises. But then of course, when he comes up with the carriage, she's like, oh my God, I love surprises. Surprises are the best. And then, you know, he obviously comes around to the idea of like rehearsing. Well, I do think it's a little bit weird just from like a characterization standpoint that a guy who is a professional athlete who like learns plays and runs drills and all that doesn't like to know what he's doing. Like that, right. I thought was a little bit strange, just because I know how hard athletes work at exactly that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like game plans and things like that. But yeah, overall, I think I'm probably a little bit of both. And I think both are obviously what you need.
Yeah.
In life, generally.
I am definitely team planning. I was with her 100%. Like, if the difference between when I just am sort of like, if I spontaneously do like a live stream or something like that, and I'm just kind of talking off the cuff or whatever, compared to when I have my notes and I've prepared, and it's night and day. It's so it makes all the difference in the world. And I think that a lot of times things that people think are kind of off the cuff and natural only sound that way because of lots of preparation.
Right.
Because of the time spent writing questions I don't know if I would do all that well with literally a teleprompter, but think that the preparation as far as the notes and thinking about, you know, what is going to be coming up the next day and all that stuff that she does, that's totally my jam. I am not a very spontaneous person. I don't really like surprises that much. And because I have sometimes it'll give me anxiety. I mean, especially if I'm trying to kind of manage everything, and I don't know, I'm just not the best when it comes to that kind of thing. And but you know, some things anybody would enjoy, like being surprised by, like if somebody brings you a gift or something out of the blue, it's like, oh, that's very nice. But as far as just like spontaneous activities, let's go and do this, and I'm like, should we do that? See, I don't know.
I think definitely, like, I like being prepared too. And like you said, there's a way to be prepared that then puts you at ease, and it comes out as natural because you have prepared, because you know what the direction you're going to go and the place you want to go. I can do spontaneous in small doses.
Yeah.
There's at church, I am the kind of an MC for a lot of church events or women's events and panels and stuff like that. And I love doing that, but I need to be prepared. And I want to have this meeting with the panelists, you know, like say, these are my questions I'm going to ask you. Like, just because the flow is better, even especially for an entertainment thing like their show. Yeah. But
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I think he wanted to rehearse more because he wanted to hang out with her, is really why. He wanted to impress her and hang out with her in this movie. And so this is why the rehearsing mattered to him, is kind of what I thought.
Yeah, at first, it was hard to sort of... A lot of times you have in this movie, you have one of them that kind of is sort of carrying a flame for the other person, but doesn't really admit it or is kind of cranky about it, and in this one it didn't seem like he was very interested in her. I mean, it seemed like he was pretty interested in his girlfriend and you know, wanting to quit the show and everything like that, and it seemed like his interest in her kind of surprised him.
Yeah,
that he sort of saw her in this new way once they went to Mistletoe. And so they go to Mistletoe. This is going to be the one thing. I mean, there were a lot of things about the morning show that didn't make any sense. But if it's really a number one show, there's no way they're going to cancel the show just because he's leaving. And so they would just get a new host for her if they were leaving. But there was definitely some odes to Kelly Ripa in the Michael Strahan situation. Oh, I think
I thought the same thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what was the other guy's name? He was on the Bachelor. Now he does like a lot of Food Network shows. He's been in a Hallmark movie. Jesse Palmer.
Oh, Jesse. Yeah.
Yes.
The J. I knew it started with a J. Yeah. I got some of those vibes too. I could see that. And she pretends like she didn't watch The Bachelor. And then later
that
on.
That scene was funny where she like lets slip. Like that's such a good little bit of writing where she's like, oh no, you said that on your show one time. Ha ha ha. And he's like, whoa, wait. But you said you didn't watch it. What happened to that? Like I thought that was such a well-crafted scene. I love that scene.
Yeah, that was fun. And I thought the production design was on point in this movie. The whole town of Mistletoe looked so pretty. And then their hotel rooms looked
so lovely.
Incredible.
I even liked their like barn setup with the show. Like I thought it looked a little weirdly dark in there, which obviously it's a barn, that makes sense. But like for a morning show, I guess the aesthetic was kind of dark. But I still like, I wanted to go hang out in that barn. I wanted to go watch their show.
Yeah.
That was great.
I agree.
That's true.
And I was trying to count. I think it was his hotel room had 7 Christmas trees. Wow. And he supposedly, this guy who doesn't like Christmas, which is, if your show is called Bright and Merry, probably not a good idea to say that you're not very into Christmas, is my guess. I don't know. Really.
He got there, though. He got there at the end. He was won over.
Uh-huh. And so they have this 3-legged race as part of being in Mistletoe. And they have what the epic rom-com movie Fall, where they just happen to fall on top of each other in the race. And it can be super cringy, but when it's done right, I love those scenes.
Yes. Well, and then they stayed there and like had a chat, you know, like they just stayed there. It wasn't like, they were so comfortable just laying on each other in the snow.
Like, I can't imagine that ever happening in real life, that you're just like, I've fallen on top of this person. Like that.
Oh, funny.
But I did love when I was reading and like looking up stuff about this movie online before watching it, you know, I saw some pictures of them like in the, I guess the what's that called, garland that like they wrap around their waists. And it reminds me, you know, like sometimes people do fandom drawings of like their two favorite characters who like usually fight, and they put them in one t-shirt that says, this is our get along shirt. And I was convinced that scene was going to be like their producer tying them together so they had to get along. But this was better. This was better than my idea.
So this movie did have some major Balsam Hill love. There was, I mean, the scene where, so they're decorating the tree. There were just so many Balsam Hill glamour shots of the ornaments. And it was like, it was like they panning over the ornaments and just holding on them for weird amounts of time. So they got their money's worth on product placement in this one. That's for sure.
Good job, Balsam.
Yes. I could have used more of Lexi and Tyler, their little like side romance. We didn't get a ton of that, but it was cute. Lexi is a character, so she wants to become a chef. And so she makes this food for Allison's character, and you know, some wanting feedback and other things like that. And I would think that she would have plenty of people willing to try her food. I guess she wanted Allison's character because, you know, she's a TV personality and could give her some feedback, but she's an up and coming chef, and then you have, so what do you think of girlfriend Christy? She comes into town and she is very excited because she wants to do a reality show with Mark's character.
You know, I think she represents a part of his life that was a huge part of his life, probably just not one that maybe he was very invested in, but maybe felt like he had to play the role, or he just grew out of it and was ready for a more serious relationship with someone he chose or something. But it was good, but you could tell there wasn't any heart in it at the beginning. So that helped me be for him and Allison as they developed their relationship. Cause typically I don't like that, where it's like, you're in this relationship. Don't play around with another one. But this one, it worked. It worked for me.
Yeah, it can be a tricky thing if there's ever sort of a cheating kind of feel to it. You know, and then they'll try to make the current girlfriend or boyfriend seem like a total bad man of business. And I don't know, Elise, what do you think about that with this one?
Christy. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like they made her in a lot of scenes just kind of the worst. Like when the very first scene when Allison Sweeney's character says, oh, you know, Merry Christmas, she goes, I don't care about the holidays. It's like, oh, yeah. All right. Cool. Sorry, I wished you well at this time of the year. My apologies.
Yeah.
And then I also thought because of all of that, because of what they had built her into, I thought her twist, like her turn kind of at the end where she's like, one scene previous, she's like, we're going to have the show and it's going to be great and I can't wait. And the next scene, she's like, no, you should definitely go be with someone else and we should not do this reality show. You're totally right. Like, I thought her turn was a little bit fast for me or a little bit drastic. If they had built it into, oh, she comes to town to give him this pitch, but then she sees, oh, he really loves the show and he really loves this woman. Like, if we had seen more of that, I might have bought it a little more.
Right.
But I do think it was very well acted. Like, I thought the actress was fantastic. You know, with what
she definitely does a heel turn. I agree. You know, that she is like, well, don't worry, I have backups.
Yes.
Really? Backups. That was funny. And so I thought the cookie baking scene in this movie was really fun and very mm-hmm. well done. Because it got to the heart of sort of their differences about this was something that he had planned and thought out, but was also spontaneous.
And it wasn't for the cameras. It wasn't something they set up as a segment for their show. It was something he just wanted to do for her. And so that was really sweet.
Yeah. So it wasn't just a kind of bland cookie making scene. It was actually important for their characters and the story.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked that. And so then he breaks up with Christy. And you also had Matthew James Dowden kind of playing the other guy in this one. And I love him. He was in the Mystery 101 Dead Talk, which I loved. And he's one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. He was so interesting. And
fun.
He's had a very interesting life. And so I was just happy to see him. He didn't have that much to do, but I thought he did a good job.
He was so Canadian.
Yeah.
He was like Canadian almost to the point of distraction.
which is funny. Yeah, because he's from England, so that's funny. Yeah. And yeah, he has a very interesting life. He worked as a magician for a long time, and then he's also an attorney. I don't know, he's had a million jobs. He's a really cool guy. So I hope that Hallmark keeps using him because I think he's really good. And so he also somehow finds Mark Lucas's character finds time to restore this carriage while they're there. This is a busy week. So then he plants his speech of what he's going to say to her, and they get to the live finale where he's going to announce his leaving the show. And instead we get this kind of long scene where he brings the carriage to her. She thinks the note was from the Matthew James Dowden character, but he says, if I were him, I would wait, which I like.
I think that was sweet.
Yeah, that was a cute line. And so she goes and they have I liked the way he lifts her up onto the carriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was cute. And they have their speeches, and the whole thing is broadcast. I know there was some talk on Twitter about, was that too much of an invasion of their privacy?
Right.
I didn't have a problem with it because they were both mic'd. They both knew that they were recording that. You know, like, it's not like it was something totally private. And
it hinted at his time on that Bachelor show, you know, where they do then she had to be a part of that. But I was a little off put by the invasion of privacy part of it, just because I had the secondhand embarrassment for them. But it worked. It was okay. And I liked that they just rolled with it. I'm like, okay, well, they're used to being on camera, so maybe I don't have to be
bad for them. Yeah, he even kind of winks at the camera guy towards the end. What do you think of that, Elise?
I think I wouldn't have minded it if not, like, if they for some reason the visual of men hiding in the bushes with cameras to record a romantic moment, something about that image, like, didn't sit well with me.
No kidding, you're right.
That to me, I think it was just the visual of that. Like, I feel like if it had been staged slightly differently, maybe I wouldn't have felt so, like, uncomfortable with it.
Sure.
But I did mind it in the end. Like, because the two characters didn't mind it, I didn't mind it. It was still a little uncomfy.
Yeah, so that was Good Morning Christmas. Out of 5, what would you give it, Carrie?
I am going high on this one. I'm doing 4.75 out of 5.
Yes,
I just loved it. It's really up there for me. There was so much that I liked about it. The comedy, chemistry, tender moments. It's a high one for me.
What about you, Elise?
I think I'm going to give it a 4 crowns.
Yeah, same with me. I'm also giving it 4. I really enjoyed it. And I actually had all 3 of these all in the same, in my ranking. I had them all together. So in my Hallmark Christmas rankings 2020, I have this at 4, Christmas Tree in Colorado at 5, and Christmas by Starlight at 6.
Nice.
So very high.
Strong. Yeah, strong week for you.
Spoiler alert to, I guess, my score on Christmas by Starlight. So, all right, let's talk about Christmas by Starlight. So this film stars Paul Campbell and Kimberly Susted, and it was actually written by them, which is exciting.
So fun.
And I feel like such a part of this whole process, even though I wasn't. But I actually interviewed the two of them in 2018. I was thinking it was, I couldn't remember if it was last year or the year before. We interviewed them together in 2018. And this is when they had done Godwinks together. Now this is their 3rd film together, Christmas by Starlight. And they were already working on it then. Like, literally that day they had worked on it. And so I don't know. I just feel like I've been so involved in this whole process. And we've had Paul on 5 times total on our podcast. We've had Kimberly on, we've had her on 3 times. And so I'm just very invested in these two people. And that doesn't mean I give the movie a pass or anything, but it's just been kind of fun to see them work on this as and become the writers. And
so again, high expectations, but it met your expectations.
And to be honest, I should not have liked this movie. It has so many things that normally I'm like, oh. The fact that it was a Save the Cafe storyline, which usually is very boring to me, the fact that it was a that it also has party planning, which is usually also very boring to me. But I just really liked these two people. I thought I thought the movie was better acted than you typically see. Even little scenes like when she tells him how disappointed she is in him, and he's actually tearing up. He's crying. And I thought that was really good. And you typically don't see that kind of emotional weight when it comes to a Save the Whatever storyline. I liked the two of them so much. I thought the banter was really well done.
Yes.
And so, Elise, what did you think of overall of this one?
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. Like, I should not have liked this one as much as I did. But this was actually my favorite of the 3 of the weekend. because the chemistry was just, it was so spot on. It was so specific. You could really tell like every shift in their relationship as they got closer together. I loved her emotional arc with her family where, you know, she was like at the end where she's like, I failed and I'm sorry. And I can't believe I did this to you guys. Like, it was so beautiful and like kind of heartbreaking. And then the ending was so lovely. It had such a good kiss, like where he like takes her face in his hand and like, oh, too much. It was too good. Yeah, I really did enjoy this one. And it was set in a city, which we see less of. So that was kind of cool to see a different kind of dynamic.
Yeah, I usually joke that you can't be in the city in a Hallmark movie unless you are a window designer or running your parade. But here, it was neither. So way to go.
I love the city. I'm from the area of Chicago. And so the city is super, super fun. And I thought that they would take them out of the city, actually. Yeah. But I was like, oh, no, this is a diner right here in the city. And they're running all over and we're getting great scenes of Chicago. So it was really kind of fun. I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I mean, it really reminded me of Christmas Tree Lane, yet there were so many subtle differences that it made it its own. Like, I didn't think of that until the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Going, oh, wait, this was kind of like Christmas Tree Lane. But again, they had such good chemistry and they brought such depth to the characters that it was so good. I was a little put off at the beginning, and Rachel knows this, only because I'm sitting here thinking, this is my favorite movie from 2002. 2 weeks' notice. This is 2 weeks' notice. How am I even understanding this? And 2 weeks' notice was when I first saw Alicia Witt, which is really kind of fun. She's in that movie, but it got over that. It got over that tract in my mind, and it became its own really tender offering. So I really liked it.
Yeah. So he hires Kimberly, this character, to be his lawyer, giving him advice and other things. And if she does it, then he will save the cafe that her parents run.
Which he had no authority, really.
Right. And her parents, played by Rebecca Staub, is her mom. And I love her. And this is another great interview. One of my favorites. She was, some people you talk to and they're perfectly pleasant and great interview, and I really enjoy. And then other people, they are just natural storytellers, and you ask them a question and they have an incredible story. And you know, and so I love everybody that I've interviewed. I'm not just saying that to be patronizing. I really do have enjoyed talking to everybody that I've gotten a chance to talk to, but there's ones that really stand out as just great storytellers, and Rebecca Staub is one of them. I what do you think of the whole scene where they eat foie gras? Mm-hmm. It looked like the smallest helping of anything I've ever seen in my life.
I love that scene, and I love when she's in the coat room eating a granola bar, and the work guy comes in, and he's like, do you have one of those for me? I'm starving. I thought that was so darling. And I love the dynamic of her, like, he's the one who's supposed to be totally at ease and, like, in his element in these circles, and then she comes in, and it's actually she's the one who fits in. Exactly. I think that was because he's so kind of, like, business-minded, and well, not really business-minded, but like he has such a specific personality that doesn't necessarily fit with all these other people. And I think it was really lovely to see him like kind of open up, like when she's at the Christmas party and she has the sweater, and the older woman co-hosting the party was like, I have one like that upstairs. We have to pull those out of storage. Oh my gosh, I love it. Like, I think that was such a cool way to kind of open up both of their characters.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know
he couldn't follow that line of business unless she was there, because she was making all those important networking connections for him. That was really fun.
Yeah, well, and it's just so funny whenever I see on TV these fancy chefs and fancy cooking or whatever, most of the time I'm like, I would still be so hungry. This looks like nothing. And they always feel undersauced to me, fancy food. I was like, I would definitely have to ask for sauce on the side because it looks, they get like a little droplet. I'm like, I need more. But I thought that they were going to have him eat escargot. That would have been funny. But they went with foie gras. But anyway, they go out shopping for a Christmas tree that they end up having at his office. And then they move it over. They says that the keys to a good Christmas tree are color, fullness, and smell. And I think that you got to say, I don't know the best word for it, but longevity has to be in there. Because if it's one of the ones that the branches all fall off.
Yes.
Yeah, she called it her, her tree criteria. And my first criteria is, okay, is it going to fit in my house? How tall is it?
Right.
Like, I guess is it still fresh? Like, how are the leaves, like the spindles or whatever they're called feeling? Yeah. Like, are they going to live very long? Like, smell, I guess, yes. But, like, I feel like I have different criteria, perhaps, than she does.
Yeah, because she has color, fullness, and smell. But I feel like color, I mean, they're all green.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're varying shades, but there's nothing like Hallmark to just update me on my, you know, like keep my education for Christmas trees just really there. I mean, it's so funny how everyone knows a tree just by looking at it. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you five types of Christmas trees, but now I can. Now I can because of Hallmark.
And so then they go to, I forget where, they were just in a department, was they just in a department store or something when they get the ice cream?
Yeah, I think it's like a toy store, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yes. Yeah, and it says ice cream is for anyone at any time, at any place. And what did you think, Elise, of his assistant, Lyle?
I liked Lyle and I liked Lyle's partner. I did feel like, again, like talking about representation, sometimes I do wonder if they're getting people in the room who are actually that sexuality to like kind of give a sensitivity read and be like, hey, maybe this is a bit outdated or this kind of way of talking isn't really how I would talk to my partner or things like that. I think maybe sometimes they could use it a little bit of a polish. So like when his partner did show up and they were at the restaurant, I thought they were like not, I figured they were both gay, but they didn't necessarily seem like partners to me. They seemed like maybe like friends or like in the same community or, you know, knew each other through like had connections or whatever. So it took me a minute to realize, oh, these two people are in a relationship because they didn't necessarily have sort of weirdly the sort of like incidental chemistry that a lot of other side couples in Hallmark movies have. Like they didn't hold hands. They didn't sit close. They didn't, you know, kind of do couple-y things, like even just the way they talk to each other. So it wasn't my favorite kind of side coupling, but I was glad they were there. Like I was glad there was that representation. I just think maybe stronger representation would have been better.
Yeah.
More natural. I thought he was Lyle was an excellent executive assistant I mean, he said, I don't have a title. You know, I mean, he worked hard for that company. He definitely deserved the recognition he got at the end.
Yeah. That was very satisfying, and I thought it was fun. I agree when they said that they're married. I was kind of like, oh, they haven't been behaving like they're married to me.
Right.
But they were more, maybe more like just dating or something like that. I agree with that. But overall, I liked them. They were fun, and Lyle and Michael, and they're going to figure out a solution to the caterer. And they end up using the barbecue truck for them. And she had some good coat game in this one. I think it were three different coats. But the one that when she was eating the barbecue with the white coat on, I was like, oh!
Were you nervous? Me nervous?
Yes. You're going to be very nervous. You're going to have to dry clean it.
I feel like that about all white coats that I see on these. I'm like, oh, man, that is a bold purchase.
Yeah. It's like Laura Osnes with her white coat in One Royal Holiday. I was like, ah.
Well, I just think of the makeup around the collar sometimes. Yeah.
But they, like you said, the skating scene was really good in this movie. Another one that can be not the best, but they were so charming and it was fun. And
like you said, it's a scene that sometimes can be just thrown in there. But this one was a good development of their relationship where he did this for her. He did specifically brought her to this place because he knew she liked skating, and it was so it added to their relationship that they were developing.
And this I love the line where she's like, "You own an ice skating rink and you don't know how to skate." And he goes, "I own a paper pulp mill. I don't know how to make paper."
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of funny too.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah,
and this is the second movie from Hallmark this year that we've gotten a cozy grilled cheese eating scene with.
I know. Well, I was like, "Where's the Campbell soup?"
I mean, I know. I was kind of
positioned for.
Oh no, I am anti tomato soup. I don't want it near my grilled cheese. I don't want it near me. So I was very happy that they were purists about their grilled cheese. I'm team pure grilled cheese always.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yes. It depends on the tomato soup. Sometimes it can be like watery ketchup, but it can be good. But yeah, I was like, I didn't know that that was such a sort of a couple-y food. It's the thing. But so she sends him a text saying this was a special night, and then she immediately regrets it, which I thought was a fun moment because how I feel like we've all kind of done that.
Yes.
Should I send the text? Oh no, I sent the text. Why did I send the text?
But it was a good call. It was a good move. He liked it.
Yeah. And I was very happy to see her in a red dress at the fundraiser. She looked great.
Not black.
Yeah, it wasn't black, which I don't like it when they wear black. He looked very handsome. She looked gorgeous. And so they have the dance, and we should talk about it because they had the girl who was singing. She did Silent Night with a guitar, which I loved. And she had a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing the slow dance, and they do A Holy Night. But here, I guess, my thoughts on that, because we've talked a lot, especially with Dory, because she hates it. She hates the slow dancing to the Christmas carols. But for me, I actually like the dancing, and I like the intimacy that it brings. And I guess for me, most of the time, it doesn't really matter what the lyrics to the songs are. It's just kind of ambient noise in the background. I don't really care about that. It's all about. There are times when the lyrics can overpower and then become intrusive, but for the most part, they could be singing about literally anything and it wouldn't matter because it's just background noise.
Right.
That's how I feel. But Elise, what do you think about the dancing to A Holy Night?
It always kind of drives me nuts. I just wish I understand why in this context they had her sing a song, because obviously it's about like her loving the community and this community that like the little diner is built around itself. And I think that's really great. But like, I would prefer if they just did like an instrumental or like, I don't know that I would really like be staring and like lovingly into someone's eyes during A Holy Night while I'm dancing. Like, I would be worried about them hitting that third bridge and their voice cracking, the singer.
Yeah.
Because it's such a hard song.
I probably would have just done instrumental. I agree with you there.
Yes. Well, I was talking about this with my in-laws because of Christmas in Vienna. You know, they kind of make a deal of it. And we were like, you know, typically these Christmas carols have a spiritual element to them. I mean, they're spiritual songs, but they have this worshipful element to, you know, the meaning of Christmas, and you just love to, you know, sing them in church, whatever. And so to have this romantic slow dance does feel a little off. Yet I know that these just represent Christmas time and the wonderful good feelings of Christmas time, and not everyone has them, you know, as a worshipful or spiritual element to them.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it, except in this one movie, this that we're talking about, Starlight, I too was a little nervous about this. Is her voice going to crack? Are we supposed to listen to this song or not? And then sure enough, they kind of turn the volume down on her singing, and then they focus on just the dialogue. So yeah. I was like, okay, well, that was good for me.
When that happened, my husband leaned over to me and he went, "It's kind of rude that they're talking during her song."
I know.
He was like, "I think that's kind of rude. They shouldn't be doing that. That's interrupting her performance." And I thought that was kind of funny. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah.
That is funny. Is he a musician? Is he a singer? Because
no, not at all.
No. Oh.
No rhythm. Well, you carry a tune in a bucket. Yeah.
Well, I should mention that I got to watch this movie with my parents, which was fun for Thanksgiving, and so my dad said, and he hasn't seen that many. He's probably seen five or six Hallmark movies, but he said that this was his favorite of the ones he'd seen. So she overhears that they're demolishing the building. She's very upset. And then he says, first he thinks, "Oh, I can't do anything." And then he goes and he tells his dad, "No." And they're making it a historical landmark. Yeah. And he says if he wants him to show leadership, then this is what he's doing. And then he goes over to the diner and announces that they are not moving, and they make up, and we have our very romantic ending. So yeah, this was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I would give this also a 4. I just really liked all three of these movies a lot. And what about you, Elise? What would you give it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this like a 4.25 crowns.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And what about you, Carrie?
I have 4 out of 5. I really liked it. And that would be my score. Yeah, 4 out of 5.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me to talk about these movies. Let us know your thoughts if you're listening, what you thought of them. Put in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And Elise, how can people find you and your writing?
Yeah, I'm at elisemurray.com. That's A-L-Y-S. Or you can find me on social media at writerElise.
Great. And Carrie, what about you?
Well, come over to Instagram. You can find me at Hallmark Comics. That's Hallmark_comics.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check that out. And then also make sure you're following the podcast, the Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all over social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really need those so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. And please consider supporting our Patreon. We have upcoming new watch along with screenwriter Greg McBride of A Heavenly Christmas. It's going to be so fun coming up in December. So any member of Patreon can join in on the watch along. So check that out. And then we also have our merch store, which is having big sales this week. So check that out. We have new designs by artist Jessica Miller. And some designs by Carrie here. So,
yes.
So check it out. And so thank you so much to both of you for talking about these movies. And I wish you all very happy Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.